Welcome back to the program. First hour is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance. 314-298-7770. Call now and mention that 590 show and get a $10 gift card just for running a quote. Have a couple of texts coming in. Jeff with no G. Does his Mark character actually think that Kaepernick is really going to put a dent in the NFL numbers? Get this guy off the air, no chance. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, his play, his talent level, he belongs in the NFL. From the 314, can't have it both ways. Our rights gave Cap the rights to kneel, but also give the owners the rights not to sign him. That's kind of the point I was trying to make. Jeff with no G texting back in again. That Nadal, Missouri senator, has free speech and said that she wanted to the president assassinated, and she's still going to be out of a job. Free speech doesn't mean free speech when it comes to employers. From the 314, how did this guy see Blake Bortles play if he's protesting the NFL? From the Four Finger Guy, I'm going to watch twice as much NFL this year. Jeff with no G texting back in again. Rapinoe, a white girl with a women's national soccer team, was kneeling during the national anthem, and the U.S. Federation said everyone will stand or you'll not be on the team. Is that discrimination as well? They are just claiming discrimination because he happens to be black. No one is yelling discrimination to the white soccer girl.
Do you know why no one complained about that one?
Because it's soccer?
No, it's because when you're representing a national team, I don't mean to do a pun here. You don't really have much of a leg to stand on in that case.
You let him have it. That was not bad. Well done. And then from the 618, first-time listener to the show, it sounds like Kevin Slayton is back. How dare you?
Oh, no.
Yelling at a black dude just because he disagrees with you. This is a bit over the top. Too much grandstanding. I'm yelling at Mark because I have to yell at Mark to get a word in edgewise.
No.
Look, I love Mark. He knows I love him.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. Mark's been calling into my show for years, and he'll be calling back in next week or tomorrow. But not to talk about the NFL, which I'm calling BS on.
I can't wait to hear his take on Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas tomorrow.
Although, if the 49ers start playing well, he's going to be calling in. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and our friend Shane Young from B-Ball Breakdown is waiting us. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Shane Young, how are you, sir?
I'm a little bit tired. How are you guys?
What are you tired from? Why? What happened?
I mean, just a little bit of internship work I've had to do. And then a blockbuster trade on Tuesday evening when I'm just chilling at the house.
Yeah, it was so funny.
It was only 7:30 at night.
Let me enjoy my night.
Well, 8:30 where he lives, though. And maybe he's at early, you know, early to bed, early to rise. He's an intern.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I called Shane last night to book him, and he's like, I just wanted one night for nothing to happen. And then, lo and behold, bam. And the NBA, man, it is just – it's amazing how, not just this year, the past couple years, maybe even going back to the original decision with LeBron, it's really become a year-round sport now.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, it's kind of good and bad because, you know, I kind of envy the NFL because after, February, then everything is dead for a little bit. And then, you know, there's obviously rumors and stuff like that, signings and stuff. But the NBA, man, it goes until June anyway. And then there's the draft 2 weeks later, and then or a week later sometimes. And then there's the free agency poll in July, and then after that it's all rumors for the next 3 months until the start of the season. So, and now we have something to look forward to. We had to hype up the Celtics and Cavs game on October 17th.
The first game of the year. How fantastic is that?
It feels scripted, but it definitely wasn't, and it's amazing now.
The time when Cleveland goes to Boston to play the Celtics. In Boston, that is the night they're going to retire Paul Pierce's number at TD Garden. So the NBA, when it comes to drama, it's just amazing. But the funny thing is that it's all this drama about trades and, you know, how good is this team going to look next year? How good is that team going to look next year? None of them are going to beat the Golden State Warriors, so it just seems like a whole lot of nothing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, including myself, were actually trying to grade or view the trade through the lens of what's it do against the Warriors, and that's probably not how you should view each trade now because, you know, you have to consider that GMs, they're doing the best they can, and you can't really just grade everything based off that. because it's just an inevitability that the Golden State Warriors will win the next two titles probably. So, if we're going to grade the trade, then you have to look at it individual perspectives for each team. And, I guess we'll get into that. I mean, you know, the Kyrie Irving, it came out of left field. Like, not even left field. It just came out of the stadium because I didn't expect anything like this. I expected Kyrie to maybe still be on the Cavs. I think I told you guys that I don't think he'd be traded. I think they would figure it out.
Yeah.
But it seems like he and LeBron just never had that meeting that I said that could happen. It seems like they never got together and really talked through it. Kyrie was just adamant and hell-bent on going somewhere else, it seems.
Well, the rumor I heard was there was a draft day trade that sent Kyrie Irving to the Indiana Pacers for Paul George, it was to Phoenix. I forgot where it was exactly, but there was a draft day trade in place that was going to send Kyrie Irving out, and David Griffin was behind that trade, and then the trade fell apart, and then I guess David Griffin told Kyrie about it. You know, he's no longer with the Cavaliers, so he's just like, oh, hey, Kyrie, by the way, this happened. And when Kyrie found that out, that's when he was like, you know what, if you don't want me, get rid of me now. You're not going to leave me here in Cleveland after LeBron leaves next year, or if LeBron leaves next year.
Oh, yeah. And I think I said on the show last time that I'm 50-50 with that. Like halfway, I believe that it's the right thing to do. Do not stick around with that franchise, because if LeBron leaves, you're stuck there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would not want to be in that dumpster fire at all. But... you know, at the same time, I kind of just don't like the look of it. It kind of looks bad that he forced his way to a team that, or he didn't force his way to Boston, but he forced his way out of Cleveland
with no leverage.
Yeah, to a team that is their biggest East rival, I guess you could say. So, it kind of looks a little bit weird. But I would say that this is one of those rare instances where, and just not even considering future stuff, just the present, like what these teams are now today, as in quality of basketball play, both teams actually probably won this.
Rocchio signaled me that he had a question, and all of a sudden he lost his train of thought. So let's break down this trade, Shane. In my opinion, I think that Cleveland, they did about as well as they could in trading Kyrie Irving. You got Isaiah Thomas, who is a good point guard. He's a good scorer. He's going to be 29, I believe, by the time around the time of the All-Star break. And he does have that hip injury. Yeah. And, you know, the league is not exactly kind to players that are under 6 feet tall. So you don't know how, like, was last year, was that a little bit of an anomaly, or how good is he exactly? But you get Isaiah Thomas, you get Jay Crowder, and you get that unprotected number one pick from the Brooklyn Nets next year, which could very well be the number one pick. Do you think that that was enough to maybe convince LeBron to stay in Cleveland past this coming season? Or do you think that, hey, you know what, worst case scenario, LeBron leaves, we still have that number one pick, and we get someone like Michael Porter Jr. to build around?
Oh, I definitely agree that Cleveland hit a home run here. Now, if you just try to sit down and write scenarios of packages that you can get for Kyrie Irving, who in my estimation, I think on my list of top 30, I think I have him 21st in the league. So, you know, let's just say a top 20 player. But someone that only has a couple years left on his deal this year and next year, the package that they got, Isaiah Thomas, a top 10 to 11 point guard, I would say 10, along with Jay Crowder, who's on the best contract in the NBA. I think it's like $7 million paid out per year for the next 3 years. It's something ridiculously low that they could definitely afford and save money. And then to have the asset of, okay, LeBron, you want to leave? Well, we'll just draft the next generational talent for 2018 draft, and Michael Porter Jr. or was it Marvin Bagley or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know too much about high school and college. But, just to have that on the table, it's the only trade the Cavaliers could have pulled off to where you can improve now and kind of be okay for the future. I mean, obviously, if LeBron leaves next year, they are going to go to the bottom. But they still have a future, kind of like when the Wolves went to the bottom and they started getting those good assets and build themselves back up. But they're going to have something like that. So I'm not too mad about what Cleveland did. I'm actually, I'm glad that Kobe Altman, the new GM, made a move that was like David Griffin-esque. Like, David Griffin made a lot of really good moves there as GM, and Kobe Altman's already made a great move, so that's good. Boston, though, I mean, Jesus Christ, I think that you improved immediately right now, your team is probably a 60 to 62 win team, I think, if you can figure out the defensive, you know, stuff that you lost with Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder. But at the same time, given that pick, it kind of gives me the wrong vibe. It turns me the wrong way that I do not like that they gave up the 2018 unprotected Brooklyn pick, which I still believe is going to be a top three pick because I don't think the Nets are going to be good.
Is there any way it's not? I mean, unless the lottery absolutely just screws them, there's no way it's not a top three pick. They have one legitimate NBA player in D'Angelo Russell, and then beyond that, they have Sean Kilpatrick and God knows who else on that roster. There's literally
the Nets
no way it's not top three. Not top three.
But I mean, like, how many other?
Which is
many?
Beautiful because there are six players I think that are going to be all around the discussion for a top three pick. So I mean, this is the draft to have a top three pick, which is why I can't believe this is the one Ainge finally pulled the trigger on.
Okay, but Boston is awash in draft picks, though, aren't they?
It doesn't matter, though. Michael Porter Jr., Marvin Bagley III, DeAndre Payton, Luka Doncic.
Okay,
these kids,
sure.
These guys are all
incredible
prospects that you don't give up. You give up, in my opinion.
It's not like Kyrie Irving's on the decline. He's 25.
He's not, but he's not on the decline, but still, he's not that much. He's not that much better than Isaiah Thomas for the gap to be made up for by.
I think he's that much better than Isaiah Thomas.
Not for the gap to be made up for by Jake by a starting 3-and-D level winger in this league and a player who has the potential to be a top 10 player.
Okay,
in the league.
I mean, if
period, there's no way the gap's there.
Go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, I have to agree with what he said there that the gap is not that significant to where it like. For example, if the trade was just Isaiah and Jay Crowder, then okay.
Yes.
You know, I don't mind that too much. But to say that Kyrie is, like, so much better that you need to throw in that number one possible pick is just, I think, asinine in some ways. And I really think that even though they have a lot of players on the roster and they might have traded that pick anyway, I would have just liked to hold on to that pick until June 2018. And then if someone is biting and someone says, look, we're going to reset our franchise or whatever, we will trade you our star for this pick and some other pieces. They could have had that pick later on.
I don't know. I mean, if you have if you're Boston and you have Kyrie Irving and you have Gordon Hayward, you have two young great players that you could build your team around.
Okay, that's fair.
And then depending on how Jason Tatum turns out, there could be your third great player to build around. It's not like Boston just completely wrecked their team to have Kyrie Irving.
They didn't, but you're talking about a third straight year of being a 50-win team and having a top three pick. That level
but they just
of luxury.
Went from, sure,
is,
but they just went from a 50-win team that you just said to what Shane thinks is potentially a 62-win team.
Yeah, but you can't look at me and tell me that the Cavaliers wouldn't take a lesser offer than that one. That was an astronomical offer. That is
that first round pick is what did it, though.
That's what I'm saying. Is that offer looks like Cleveland said, this is what we want for Kyrie, and Boston said, okay. It doesn't. It's an offer that comes off without any counter from Boston because it's so big. That's the thing that shocks me, and that's a lot of people are blown away because this is a top three pick in a draft that is projected to have unholy levels of talent at the top.
Okay, but there's a good chance those things could bust too, right?
Yes.
Kyrie Irving is not going to bust unless he completely wrecks his knee like Sean Livingston style. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But you already know you're going to have a Kyrie Irving, though. You already know that he can play in the NBA.
Yes.
You don't like whoever's going to be the pick next year for Cleveland if they hold on to it. You have no idea what they're going to be.
That's
go ahead,
true.
Shane.
Yeah. I just wonder what you do if, let's just say the scenario plays out to where Cleveland and Boston meet in the East Finals this year, which is probably going to happen. 90% chance it's going to happen.
More than likely.
Yeah, and Cleveland just absolutely beats them, and LeBron proves that, you know, he's still on top of the mountain, and then Cleveland loses Golden State. So then Kyrie has one more year left on his deal, one more for 2018-19, and say things don't go well that year.
It's a gamble.
He walks from Boston. Like, what are you going to do, start Marcus Smart at the point? Like, I don't know.
And what happens?
Sure.
And
yeah,
it's
a complete and total gamble.
And what if he walks next year and Marvin Bagley III has an incredible Karl Anthony Towns level rookie year, or Michael Porter Jr. goes off like Kevin Durant, they could potentially look so stupid after this deal.
Sure,
if Kyrie
they could.
Walks and the, or and the pick blows up, they could look. It could look bad. That's all I'm saying. And,
or
and my point.
Or they. I mean, there's a flip side of that coin. Or they could beat Cleveland next year in the Eastern Conference
and
Finals.
And then get trounced by Golden State.
Well, like, what my Cleveland's not going to, but at least they can make it to the Eastern. They can at least make it to the NBA Finals. If they make it to the NBA Finals, like, why would Kyrie start planning his exit then if he likes playing there?
Because
that's your job is to make him like playing
and
there.
And this is my next question to Shane. This is the one issue I see. I have till about Christmas until we hear the first rumblings that Kyrie Irving is not happy with Brad Stevens bitching about his defense. I got till Christmas, and no, yeah. I don't think we make it into 2018.
Well, he wanted Gordon Hayward. He really can't complain about getting players who don't like defense.
Gordon Hayward played great defense for Utah last year. Quinn Snyder demanded that, and he stepped up, and he's been playing great defense since he got to the NBA. Kyrie Irving is a revolving door compared to Gordon Hayward.
It's either going to be Kyrie complaining like or something about defense with Kyrie, or it's going to be he's not getting the shots that he got in Cleveland. Because think about this. In Cleveland, LeBron and Kyrie split, 20-something shots a game? I mean, in Boston, Brad Stevens isn't going to want that, man. He's going to want Horford to get his 10 to 12. He's going to want Hayward to get his 18 to 20, you know. He's going to want Kyrie to get his certain amount. But I feel like it's going to be more of a egalitarian system there, as it should be. Brad Stevens is a great coach. I think he's top five right now. I really think that Kyrie, it could help him, but it could also – we could really see the true colors of him because no coach has ever been really hard on him, right? I
mean, yeah, exactly.
Brian Scott might have been a little bit hard on him, but he was a rookie, so, you know, whatever. But Brad Stevens could just say, look, we got to limit those isolations. Boston didn't run a lot of isos last year. I mean, they were middle of the pack. Isaiah had a few, but they were middle of the pack. Kyrie was the number one iso guard in the league, so it could be a problem. We'll see.
And another thing to that, I'd say Mike Christmas. Gordon Hayward was one of the best wings last year at running the pick and roll from the three spot, and so that's another issue there. If Brad Stevens is going to want to put the ball in Gordon Hayward's hands to set up some, you know, pick and rolls, especially with a guy like Al Horford. It's a lot of size, a lot of 3-point shooting. It's going to be tough to guard. How much Kyrie, you know, got some shots working off ball, but usually when he got his shots working off ball in Cleveland, he would catch it off a screen and then dribble for 10 seconds off the clock. So is that going to be an issue there too?
They'll figure.
I know. I don't know what to expect with Kyrie. He's the type of player that is just he's Kobe in a smaller body. He's a faster Kobe in a smaller body, and I just don't know. I mean, that's hard for a lot of players to get along with. It really is.
Roughly the same assist percentage.
Shane Young from BballBreakdown.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Shane, do you think that Cleveland is done dealing, or do you think they try to find a way to trade that first round pick, package a couple other players, and maybe get a little bit better? But I think maybe they're done. I think they want to hold on to that first round pick in case LeBron bolts. And I think another thing's going to happen. Everybody's hearing that Dwayne Wade is going to get his contract bought out by Chicago. I think he goes to Cleveland after that too. So I think that Cavaliers team is going to be extraordinarily deep, but they're going to be kind of old.
Yeah, they're going to be their average age. Last year was like 31. Now, with Isaiah Thomas being 4 years older than Kyrie, and now with Dwayne Wade probably going there, that average age might be like 33 or 34. It's going to be something old, man. But we'll tackle that. But also, like, I believe the first thing you said was, is Cleveland done? The funny thing was, man, like, there was this guy on Fox Sports 1. I know you know who it is. And he was saying, man, they can package Iman Shumpert, Channing Frye, and the 2018 pick at the trade deadline for Boogie Cousins. Number one, I don't care if Boogie Cousins is as an expiring deal, and that's like the most you can get for him, per se. New Orleans is not taking Iman Shumpert, Channing Frye, and, you know, probably that Nets pick. I mean, I just don't. I mean, Boogie's probably worth a lot, you know, more than that. But that's first world order. I don't know.
Well, man. I mean, that Nets pick is going to carry some heft. If you're New Orleans,
yeah, it is.
If you're New Orleans, here's my question about that. If you're at the trade deadline and you're not winning, if you're New Orleans, you have to start thinking about life without Anthony Davis because you're not winning enough to keep him there.
Well, and speaking about not winning, Boogie Cousins is not really exactly a winning player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good player. He's a double-double guy. There's no question about that.
What happens if
Boogie Cousins does not really get on winning teams and, like, take him to the next level?
What happens if they're, you know, 8 or 9 games below 500 and they're in the Western Conference when the trade deadline rolls around?
They may do something like that.
That Nets pick gets awfully enticing when you realize that.
But if I'm Cleveland, though, like, they can hold on to it if you think LeBron's going to bolt.
True.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think I would still hold on to it if I was Cleveland, just because, like, LeBron, I think the reports have been out that LeBron has not given ownership any type, like he is just straight away from giving any type of hope that he's going to come back. Like, he's just kind of being quiet about it and, you know, not giving any indication about it. And I think that if that's the case, you have to think for the worst. Dan Gilbert will be the first person in history to lose LeBron twice.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have that happen and have no backup plan.
Well, I heard Chris Broussard say that he thinks that LeBron's not going anywhere.
Oh, if I had to bet, I think I'd probably say it's about 60-40 that he leaves, which is leaving, you know, 40%. That's a good percentage that he stays.
Yeah, I
really think that his heart and soul is there, but I also think that he wants to win more. So that's where I get the 60-40 from.
Sure.
But I do have to say,
where could he go, though, to win more than he could right now on Cleveland?
Nowhere.
That's the point.
The only place is not even financially possible, and that's Houston. That's the only place that I would say. And, you know, you just obviously can't put all those max guys on the same team. You can't do that.
Yeah, and Colin Cowherd keeps saying that he's going to go to the Lakers. I'm like, why would he go to the Lakers?
Yeah, I guess if his wife wants to just, you know, be Hollywood.
Doesn't seem like the type, though. I mean, she's not like Lala, where she's not on a TV show or anything like that. I understand he's got a house in Brentwood, but, I mean, like, you go to the Lakers and you do what?
Again, can you picture LeBron outside of big market team, though?
Yeah, other than Cleveland? No, I can't.
Yeah.
Why I think I'm kind of with Shane. I'm kind of leaning with Shane. I think it's 60% that he stays in Cleveland.
Yeah, I would say that for LeBron, if he did go to the Lakers, and if Ball, LeBron James, and company, and say he didn't bring Paul George or Russell or anything like that, it would be a struggle. Maybe this is going to sound a little bit crazy because it's LeBron, but it'd be a struggle to even get into, like, the playoffs on it, man.
I think they'd make the playoffs, but, I mean, he's going to be out in the second round. How does that help his legacy? He's trying to run down 23, and you're not going to get any closer by going to the Western Conference. Your best bet is to stay in the Eastern Conference, where everybody's, other than Boston, appears to be a patsy for the next few years, and just take your chances that when you get to the finals that you're going to, you know, maybe catch Golden State on an off shooting night. I mean, it's all kind of like a calculated risk.
Yeah, and I'll say, if LeBron does go to the Lakers and the Western Conference has, like, a million of the top players in the league, just in the NBA or just in conferences and do something else.
Because you're right.
That would be absolute barren. It would be ridiculous. The East just needs to go away and die for a couple of years if that happens.
You know what? I hope that happens then, because Silver needs the kick in the pants to get rid of conferences and make the playoffs just 1 through 16 seeding. They need something to finally bring that hammer down. It was mentioned 3 or 4 decades ago when it was the East that was winning everything and the West sucked. It's been mentioned now since the West started dominating in the early 2000s. Get rid of it, 1 through 16, and let's have some fun.
Yeah, imagine if the second round we had something like Houston and Cleveland or something like that, you know? Because Cleveland only won 51 games last year and Houston was like at 58. Like, imagine if we had something like that. That'd be epic. I mean, the NBA wants to try to catch the NFL. That would be it. That would be the thing to do it right there, I think.
Shane Young, we appreciate your time as always, sir. Get some sleep. You sound exhausted. What have you been doing, covering a big trade?
I'm going to work on some stuff. I'm actually writing about the Denver Nuggets.
There you go. Rocchio loves their new uniforms, by the way.
I
would add that in there. Matt Rocchio.
It's going to make it so hard to watch Nikola Jokic highlights. It's going to be so tough.
Yeah, find a way to crowbar that in there, will you, Shane? Matt Rocchio from 590 The Fan in St. Louis loves their new uniforms.
Terrible.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, Shane.
See you, man.
That is Shane Young from bballbreakdown.com. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, your phone calls, people who were calling during that first segment, and I ask you to call back. The Belvin Automotive phone line will be available, 855-282-8255. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.